I know everyone who has played NASCAR the game 2011 really wants to know, how is multiplayer coming along for the next game?
It is coming along fantastic. And a totally fair question, Brian. We certainly, when we first released, we certainly had some issues, which we're happy that we stayed on it. We resolved them. There were three updates to the game, and we just really stayed on top of it. And, you know, I'm not going to make excuses, but the best reason that I can give you is when you go from a couple hundred people testing the game to a couple hundred thousand overnight, and it's your first NASCAR game done to this scale. Some things caught us by surprise, but like I said, we really focused on it and I think mopped it up pretty well in NASCAR the game 2011. For the new game, NASCAR the game Inside Line, we've built upon that. So we started with a very stable base. We've done an amazing amount of work in the background to make it even more stable and more robust. And actually, because of the response to multiplayer, and it was very clear from the fans that what they wanted more, we've actually really blown out the multiplayer feature. So really, anything you can do in offline mode in terms of the normal race weekend, you can do in multiplayer mode. So you can go out and practice, qualify, race, really everything, all the modes are in there. So we've made multiplayer a very, very, very major focal point of the game, and I think people are going to be thrilled with it.
And there were a lot of questions about what was going on, and anywhere near the industry, even myself, you know, looking in on it from the outside view that I get, everyone knows that there is a difference between doing QA internally when you have a couple hundred people and doing it externally when there are much more people playing the game. But I did not know. Did you want to go into sort of what happened with NASCAR the game 2011, maybe what some of those problems were?
Yeah, I mean, it really was just a matter more of scale than anything else. You know, when you're dealing with people, when you're dealing with testers testing a game versus fans playing a game, it's a different environment. And when you go from a couple hundred people to a couple hundred thousand, it's totally different problems. So variations in, you know, latency, you know, connection speeds, everything just sort of magnifies. Now, you know, that doesn't make excuses for things like, hey, you know, the flags didn't work right. You know, those were other separate bugs that we worked on and just quite frankly didn't get discovered before we released it. I mean, really, believe it or not, folks, nobody tries to ship a game with bugs in it just to get it out the door. It's incredibly expensive. It's incredibly embarrassing to have to deal with that stuff after the fact. You want to ship a perfect game. No one on this planet has ever shipped a perfect piece of software, unfortunately. There's always, you know, issues of some level. And then the proof is in the pudding of what do you do when things are discovered. And like I said, I think we, you know, really worked our tails off as quickly as possible to address those things. But, you know, it wasn't like, oh, that one line of code right there, that was the problem. That's what we discovered. It really was just a level of scale that we hadn't tested to. And, you know, when you get there, it's like, you know, when 200 people test something, you might get 10 bugs. When 200,000 people test something, you might get 10,000 bugs that are suddenly discovered just because of that level of scale.
Yeah.
And really, it truly was a situation where, although you technically have been in business a very long time doing motorsports games, something to the level of this NASCAR game, and really, you know, 16 players out there and the way things are with the cars in close proximity, and I can tell you, having done these games for an awful lot of years, I've worked with other companies doing NASCAR games before you Technics, it is the hardest multiplayer environment imaginable. Because it's not like you got a bunch of guys out there with guns that are, you know, trying to snipe at each other hiding behind buildings. You've got 16 multiplayer cars doing upwards of 200 miles an hour, literally on top of each other, inches away from each other. That is an incredibly complex thing to keep straight when you know all the data from all 16 of those machines is not going to accurately get there all the time. And again, I'm not making excuses. I'm just, you know, giving you the reasons behind it. It was just something that we weren't able to test fully to that level until it was out there. I think if people sit down and play multiplayer today, they probably have a pretty good experience with NASCAR the Game 2011 with the three updates that we've done. And like I said, with NASCAR the Game Inside Line, we've absolutely built upon that, made it better. Made it, you know, bigger, better, faster, but really added on even more features to it, and it's working great right now.
And that's why I wanted to ask you about all the work apparently you guys are putting into the career mode, because it seems like that was at least the focus of everything I've heard so far. Are you guys just that much further ahead, where at least that much further ahead in terms of where you stand with your multiplayer, that you can take that time to focus on the single player in the campaign mode?
certainly can. I mean, really, when you finish a game, you know, we did NASCAR the Game 2011. We knew we were going to do a sequel. So almost literally the work on the sequel begins the moment that the initial game goes out the door. So it's like it never really stops. You know, a lot of the work initially went into working on multiplayer and making that stronger for NTG 11, and then also, goes into Inside Line. But then we sit down and you really talk to the people that have bought the game. You listen a lot online. You talk a lot online. You know, Dave Thompson, who's our executive producer, anybody out there listening that's not following Dave_ETX on Twitter, you really should if you're at all interested in this game, because he's the guy in charge of the entire product. And I tell you, he is online talking with the fans all the time. And it's not just he's listening and talking back to people. It's one-on-one communication on Twitter. It's really spectacular the way he's interacting. We've got a whole staff of people that are really working on community for all the games that Eutechnics does. We've got people, you know, directly, you know, specifically working on just NASCAR stuff. So we're out there all the time talking to them. And like you just said, one of the features people really wanted more of was career mode. We basically had a season mode where you could go out and compete for the Sprint Cup Championship in NASCAR The Game 2011. People wanted more. They wanted to run multiple seasons. They wanted to run as themselves. They wanted to win multiple championships. We thought that was great, and then we took it a step further and said, you know what? Let's add in almost some team manager aspects to it as well. So as you go out and you progress through your career, you're going to get sponsor offers from some of the major sponsors in NASCAR. We've gone out and licensed a lot. I don't even know that it's funny. I did all the licensing. I don't even know how many we ended up licensing.
You lost
it was
track.
A lot. In a way we did. I could sit down and count it up for you, but, you know, a lot of the major sponsors in the sport are out there. And as you work your way through, they're making offers to you. They give you a certain amount of credits. Those credits go into your purse. You can then use that money. The game does it automatically to sort of enhance your team and your cars. So you're not only competing on the racetrack to, you know, get accolades and win trophies, but you're really competing for sponsorship, which is really a neat aspect and is kind of like the real world. But it makes this new career mode in the game endless. And you can truly play it forever, and you can keep competing for more and more and more. You never really, you know, there's not an upper limit to just say, okay, that's it, I give up, you've won. You can just keep going and winning, you know. Hey, you want to win 8 Sprint Cup championships? Nobody's ever done that before. Go for it. You want to win 10? Do that. You know, you want to have every major sponsor in the sport that, has made offers to you along the way? You know, you can go and do that with the sponsors that are participating in this. So really a cool, definitely a cool mode.
Now I see exactly where I've made my mistake at all this time trying to convince you guys to get the Canadian Tire Championship League from up here in Canada into the game. All this time I should have been following Dave on Twitter and just bugging him constantly about it. Right now I'm talking to Ed Martin here on Got Game. Ed Martin's the Executive VP of North America for Eutechnics. We're talking about NASCAR the game, Inside Line, and we were just talking a second ago about the career mode and how you can sort of work throughout a season and gain sponsorships. And it seems like as far as specific gameplay goes, the other big part that you guys have really put a lot of time into, other than multiplayer, has been sort of the challenge events, if you will. There was a number of challenge events in NASCAR The Game 2011. The Eliminator, Gauntlet, I greatly enjoyed those. It seems a little that you are expanding those. You're going to put more of these sort of challenge events inside NASCAR The Game, Inside Line?
Yeah, well, I have to be careful here because we haven't actually announced everything we're doing with the challenges. But what I can tell you is we've worked incredibly closely, as we have in the past, but you know, even more so this time around, with NASCAR itself, NASCAR Competition, NASCAR R&D. And we have been able to get access to all the telemetry that comes out of the cars. This is information from the real races. The teams don't even have access to this stuff.
Awesome. So you can tell me why they keep blowing radiators at big tracks.
We would have that data and could do the analysis. And that's really why the telemetry is in those cars, so that the R&D Center, NASCAR Competition, can analyze that. But we kind of came up with a different twist on that. It's like, well, wouldn't it be really cool if we could create some game modes out of this and set up situations based on exactly, I mean exactly what was going on in those cars and on that track at any given moment or any given lap. So we're able to create with ultra realism exactly what was going on. Also, we were able to take all that data. And just to give you an idea, the telemetry that comes out of the cars is transmitting at 5 times a second. So you're getting data from every one of the 43 cars 5 times a second for the entire length of the race. So we were also able to take that data, which is complete 3D positional data, as well as information about what's going on within the mechanics of the car itself, be that the engine or the steering, gas, brake, clutch, you know, whatever. But the positional stuff we were able to use to retune all of our tracks. So I hazard to say that we have the most accurate Sprint Cup tracks ever created, you know, short of the real thing. Based on the telemetry data, we were able to go in and get every bump and every inch and every quarter of an inch of those things incredibly accurate this time around using the telemetry. And I'll tease you a little bit by saying we're actually holding back a little bit. There's another announcement that's going to be coming along of something that I really think is sort of revolutionary in certainly motorsport games, and I would say in video games in general, that we're going to be doing with the telemetry in partnership with a few other folks out there. So stay tuned later on in the year before we release the game to hear what we've been up to there. But let's just say that telemetry is definitely a major feature of the game, the challenges, and that is a fantastic start, but even more to come.
This is Got Game that you are listening to. I'm talking to Ed Martin, the Executive VP of Teasing for Utechnics, and kind of breaking down NASCAR the Game. I was about to say 2012, but you guys decided to go with NASCAR the Game Inside Line. Why did you go, actually, with a subtitle instead of just tossing a number on the end of it like everyone else does?
Yeah, well, I mean, part of it is what you just said. Everybody else kind of does that. And honestly, when we came out with our first game, we kind of went with that mode. It's like, well, you know, it's a sports game. We should put a year on it. The funny thing is about those years, they're never really accurate, right? I mean, the game ships and, you know, it's typically not even the season and the year. And at least in our case with NASCAR the Game 2011, we shipped with the 2010 season and then we added the 2011 season. So was it NASCAR the Game 2010 or 2011 or what the heck was it? So we really decided to not date the game because, especially with the online abilities these days, it's very easy to continue to add on to it. And the Inside Line name was sort of came up because a lot of it has to do with this telemetry stuff. And, you know, the goal of the game was to get, you know, deeper and, you know, inside the sport. But because we're able to use all the really cool, you know, telemetry stuff in the competition, the idea of, well, you've got the Inside Line, it just seemed like kind of a cool pun and a cool angle and a cool descriptor of exactly what the game is. This is going to truly get you inside like no other game has ever done before. And I think you'll see going forward, we probably will not be bringing the year back. You know, certainly the game will represent the years within it. It's going to ship with the 2012 season in it when it ships this fall. And then we will have an update available during the 2013 season that will update you to the 2013 season with the schedule, the new car models. And the new paint skins. And in fact, it's funny, before you and I get on the line today, I was over at one of the race shops and got to see one of the 2013 cars today live. I had seen pictures, but wow, are they different? And number two, are these things cool looking? Really, really neat stuff. Of course, it's going to raise hell with us because we got to rebuild every car model in the game and all those things, but it's definitely going to be worth it. Some really cool stuff coming there.
Well, here's the interesting thing. The release date right now, as far as I have the most updated information for us in the media, is sometime in the fall of this year. And that could actually put it at the end of the season. So would you guys just release the game with the updated car for next year?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. We would certainly be able to create the car models. The thing about NASCAR, however, is we wouldn't be able to get all the paint schemes done from the teams. You know, even looking at this year's game, and you're right, it ships this fall. It wasn't until probably, you know, really into, believe it or not, late February, early March timeframe that we had all of the final paint schemes. And you say, well, Ed, how could that be possible, right? I mean, these cars raced in Daytona. Like, you're right. We did. We had Daytona paint schemes probably right at the beginning of February when we got the final one. But then when you look at our game, we've got upwards right now of about 125 paint schemes in the game from just the 2012 season. And we're talking about some cars that still, we're almost halfway through the season, we're talking about some cars that haven't even run on the track yet. We've got paint schemes for and we're putting them in the game because number one, it gives the game a lot of variety, but number two, it's really cool stuff to win. If you're you know, a fan of, you know, pick your car. I'll pick the 43 car, for example. I think the 43 car, we have six different paint schemes for that car. That's kind of neat. And we'll give you a couple of them out of the box, you know, for freebies, but then the other four, you'll have to do something within the game. We're not going to sell them to you, but we'll have something in the game. It's like, hey, go out and, you know, place in the top five, and then it will unlock additional paint schemes for the 43. So it creates some cool game in the game type of things. But going back to, you know, could we put the 2013s in there? There's no way with a game that's shipping this fall. I mean, right now the official ship date is November 6th. So a game that ships November 6th, we're actually done with it and turning it over to Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo sometime in August.
Okay.
In August, of the 43 cars in the game, I would be shocked. Well, I'll tell you about last year. In August of last year, we had exactly zero 2012 paint schemes in our possession. They don't exist. The teams aren't done with them. They're still focused on the end of this season. There are some of the teams out there, the bigger teams that really have major orders for diecast. That's usually what drives it, because all of those are made over in Asia, and it takes several months for those to be you know, made and then shipped over and have them here in time for Daytona. They're not even placing those orders for those diecasts until August. Yeah, maybe in September. So they're not finalizing art until after we have to be done with this year's game. So unfortunately, it's not possible for us to put the paint schemes in there. We might be able to do some things with the car models and just sort of put things on the disc, which would save the download. They'd be locked. They'd be hidden. But, you know, maybe it could save a little bit of download. But right now, we're not even planning on doing that. Because when you start talking about these car models, they're still wind testing these things. Yeah, I'm sure NASCAR fans out there have by now seen pictures of what all four of these cars look like, although the Chevy one is very difficult to tell what it is because they had that checkerboard thing on it, so you really couldn't tell the curves. But those cars are not truly final yet. They're still doing tweaks and tunes to those things, and will be for, you know, the next couple of months.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it makes for an interesting challenge, that's for sure.
I could imagine. Ed Martin is the executive VP of North America for Utechnics, and he's talking to us here on Got Game about NASCAR, the game, Inside the Line. And in that question, or in that answer you just gave us, you brought up the words download a couple of times, and it seems like today you can't release a video game without some sort of download schedule afterwards. Are you guys actually planning on putting out any sort of downloadable content after the game is released?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, a game goes out today, and you know, it's almost obligatory that you're able to continue to update it and add on to it, especially with a, you know, a successful game franchise like a NASCAR franchise and what we have. So, yeah, there are definitely plans. I can't get into everything, but suffice to say, there are certainly plans to put additional things out. I already referenced the fact that the 2013 cars and season and paint schemes and all that will be put out as downloadable content. And there's certainly larger plans in the works for what we might want to do going forward. And it's really nice with the PlayStation and Xbox and the big hard drive and internet connectivity. It opens up an amazing amount of things that you're able to do with these games today.
Yeah.
So you don't just need to, you know, try and, you know, put a piece of Mylar in a plastic box and stick it at GameStop or Walmart or Best Buy or Target and try and sell it to a consumer for $50 or $60 and say, okay, have fun with that game until we come out with the new one, and then I'll charge you $50 or $60 again. Now you're able to do some really cool, fun things to, you know, justify the investment, continue the entertainment of the game, and you know, from a business perspective, you even create a revenue stream with additional content. You know, a game like Call of Duty, which is obviously a beast, right? What Call of Duty is able to do with all their upgrade packs, that's really changed the way that the gaming business works, and gives a lot of life to a lot of legs to those games. And you know, we want to follow on that path. I'd love to have the sales of Call of Duty. We have no delusions that we're going to be that big, but certainly we've got a successful game, and it justifies a lot of really cool downloadable content.
We are kind of almost running out of time here. We've run a little late, so I'm going to throw one more question at you, if you don't mind. I was actually going over the press release, and probably the most interesting thing that I found was that you guys are going to be having some of the NASCAR on Fox broadcast crew as part of your game this year. Doug and Mark from the Performance Racing Network were in the game last year. Are those guys out and the NASCAR and Fox guys in, or what's the situation with all the people who will be providing commentary or audio, you know, during gameplay?
Well, we haven't announced everybody who is participating as a voice in the game. I can tell you that as I sit here today, all the audio has been recorded for the game. I can tell you that Ty North is absolutely back as the voice of the spotter, and we brought him back in. He's added a lot more spotter audio.
Does he have more lines about food?
You know what? We had the food lines taken out. It was funny because we went back in and was like, Ed, tell me I don't have to talk about hot dogs anymore. It's like, nope, no more hot dogs. We're taking those out. No more food lines for Ty. Another one that we've sort of quasi-announced, because as we were doing the voiceover session, I was tweeting out pictures. David Hoots, who is a series director for NASCAR and runs the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series from the control booth every weekend during the race. David is the voice of Race Control, which is a new voice to the game this year. And that really kind of, you know, it's indicative of how we've really worked even more close than ever with NASCAR to not only bring, you know, somebody like that in as a voice, but to make sure that we are absolutely nailing it with the nuances of every rule in the sport and make sure we replicate that. The other voices we haven't announced yet. So I've got to tease you a little bit again, Brian, unfortunately. Although I can tell you, you referenced Fox. We have had a partnership with Fox. We did for the first game. It's gone even deeper for the second game. And for any of the fans out there that have been watching the NASCAR broadcast on Fox, a lot of the 3D graphics that Fox has been using within the broadcast this year came from us. That was sort of the first part of the partnership that we were able to offer up things for them. The coolest piece, and we never put any branding on it, but there will be branding on it next year, is in the Hollywood Hotel. Jeff Hammond has that touchscreen, looks like a giant iPad.
Yep.
Or a giant playbook. And there's that translucent 3D car on there with all the really cool things that he can show.
Yep.
Those were all our graphics.
Nice one.
That was stuff we supplied to Fox long before the season began, and they built that. And there's been other elements in there. A lot of the bumpers, when they go in and out of commercials, any of the stuff you see with 3D tracks, the 3D cars spinning, all of that stuff came from us. And there'll be more to come and more to announce with the Fox partnership coming up.
And actually, I was going to make that my last question, but when you actually started talking about how you were going to introduce Race Control into the game this year, there was a switch in the back of my head that just went off. And I remember, you know, my days of racing in NASCAR The Game 2011 on multiplayer, and some of the frustration I had, because there'd be people who, well, for one reason or the other, were not doing as well as everyone else, and they decide, hey, I'm going to entertain myself by turning around and driving backwards around the track and do head-on collisions. And that was something that really annoyed me and frustrated me to no end, simply because I was just trying to be there enjoying a good race while all these people were just trying to, I don't know, just annoy me, I guess. So I was just wondering, how have you guys approached sort of enforcing the rules of the sport in NASCAR The Game inside line?
Well, certainly the rules are all enforced, and just like the real sport, everything gets a little bit subjective. It's really easy to say if a guy does a 180 on the track and starts going down and tries to knock everybody out, you need to get rid of that person. So certainly things like that are in there. But then what's the difference between, you know, good aggressive video game driving and causing trouble and trying to ruin the race for everybody else? That honestly is a very hard line. Some of it's very obvious, but some of it is, hey, I made a mistake. I didn't mean to cut somebody off. I mean, last weekend's race, Brad Keselowski took out Jimmy Johnson in the pits. Was that malicious? Was that on purpose? It absolutely wasn't. You know, the guys can't see in the car, and Jimmy went, and they were telling Brad to pull in, and unfortunately they clipped each other. It happens to the professionals. So we try our best to enforce the rules and take care of either online or even in single-player mode drivers that are, you know, just going up the horse around and cause trouble. And we do our best. As far as, you know, the Race Control voice, and really when you think of last year's game, the only voice you heard other than the race intros in career mode was Ty.
Yep.
So Ty Norris was literally, we called him your spotter, but he was your crew chief, and he was Race Control. He was telling you when the flags came out and so forth. We really split that off. So there's a separate crew chief voice this year. Okay. There's a separate race control voice this year. There's a separate spotter voice this year. And there's also the race intro voices again. So that's on the voices. And hopefully I also answered your question on how we handle, you know, I'll call them malicious drivers. How's that for good words?
Yeah, there's a difference between having an accent, because let's face it, not everyone who picks up the game is going to be a great driver, and I can understand maybe not everyone will perhaps use the correct amount of braking or something in a corner, and perhaps problems will occur due to inexperience. That I'm willing to forgive, but it's just these malicious drivers that their game's ruined, so they're going to ruin other people's games. And maybe just one more quick question, just because I was just wondering, as a person playing in multiplayer, if I come across a situation, would I have any sort of way to maybe affect what happens? Like, is there going to be maybe, I know in some games, if there is a certain player who has not been, well, abiding by the rules, everyone else in the game can sort of come together and vote and kick that person out if enough people agree that this person needs to leave. Will I have any sort of controls as a gamer inside the game space to sort of at least try and negate some of this possibly fooling around?
Well, the quick answer is, as the game sits, you know, right now, sitting at end of March, almost beginning of June, there is not, other than that which was in, you know, NTG 2011. It is something that we're looking at. It's a very, very tough nut to crack. It seems like it should be easier. Why don't you just give people the right to vote? Well, okay, how many people need to vote? Because then you can get into the opposite situation where you get a malicious game host or a malicious player who just says, oh, that guy's really good, punt him. We don't like him. He's too good for us. So it becomes quickly a double-edged sword of what's fair. You don't want to ruin the game for anybody in either direction. And a simple solution of give players the right to kick somebody else out, actually, when you put it into practice, complicates the problem, doesn't solve the problem. It's an easy technical thing to do. Okay, if the majority of the players in this thing vote to punt somebody out, that person's gone. Well, maybe you just ruin the race for that guy, because it could be used very easily for malicious purposes, just like you can do a 180 on the track and cause trouble. So it's kind of a hard thing to do. We're still noodling over exactly what we could possibly do to put some of those things in there. Next time we talk, when we get a little bit closer to the ship date, I might have some other news for you there. But right now, it's the same as it was in the last game.
Well, then I look forward to talking to you then, because there are a lot of you have given me a lot of great answers, but there's still a lot of things that I would like to know. And I understand you can't answer all of them because embargoes and stuff like that. But hopefully, when we talk closer to ship date, maybe we can go over a few of those things. Ed Martin is actually the executive VP of North America for Utechnics, and he's joined us here on Got Game to talk about NASCAR the game Inside Line. Ed, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Until then.